Mind if I sit down this morning? And we'll just have a little. We got the little, do any little people, or we're all in here today? All right, sounds good. Well, I'm going to just have a seat here because doing a little things a little different. I mean, remember what we've been talking about the last few weeks. We've been talking about soil types, right? And you know. And we're just going to jump into it. And we want to be clear to hear. That's the main thing. No matter what it is that we're doing in life, we want to be clear to hear His voice. And one of the things that we're going to need to do is to make sure that we're going to be good ground, right? Luke chapter 8, we've read this, but it's good to hear it again. We've been going over it. Luke chapter 8. Verse 5, and we'll just touch down right here for now, but, and you don't have to be in the kingdom very long to understand there are just some people that are just, they're going to be bad seed, right? You've been in the world long enough, you know that there are just some of those people that are just going to be so, how can we say they are so either loose cannons, out of control? They're not going to receive anything. They're not going to do anything. They're not going to produce anything. And so we see here in Luke chapter 5, chapter 8, verse 5. I'll get there. A sower went out to sow his seed, and it fell. And it sowed, and some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Now, and I'm going to read through this portion here. And some fell on rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because of lack of moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up, and it choked it. And others fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit 100-fold. Well, and when he had said these things, he cried out and he said, "He that has ears, let him hear." Right? Now, often we're focused on the soil types, meaning that's our heart, right? Whether we're going to be good soil, and then the good seed is going to be God's word. Correct? I believe that's not only the written word, which is the Bible that we have, but it's also the rhema word. So the logos is the written. The rhema is going to be the spoken word. Okay? Now, on the other side, you know, we see here that the devil is trying to steal that word through suggestions. But how many of you know that the devil is always trying to plant his seed too? Something we don't talk about a lot, right? The devil is, now there's good ground, this Jesus is talking about the ground here, and the seed, which is the word of God, whether that's, again, out of the Bible, or it's spoken to us, that's perfect. And our heart is going to be able to, we're either going to position ourselves where we can receive it, or one of the other soil types is we receive it, we let it go, right? Verse 8, the sower sowed his seed, and it was sown, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it. Well, we know that is, we just don't honor the word, right? It's trodden down. It's just old hat. We're not really valuing it. It's no big deal. And then the devil comes along and helps us out and says, "You're right, that's not a big deal." And we discard it. Well, it's never worked before. Well, it's never happened before. Well, this or that. Verse 6, some fell on the rock. As soon as it sprang up, it withered away because of the lack of moisture. So, you know, in this scenario, we see some people, they're seeing some results, but because of either, and I will say it, they separate themselves from church, they're not in the Word, whatever, they're not watering it, right? And all of a sudden, they fall away. Verse 7, Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it out. Well, look at verse 11 here. And Jesus explains the parable of the seeds, right? The seed is the word of God. So again, we know that the seed is perfect. Verse 12, those by the wayside are those that hear, right? Then the devil came, takes the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. So the devil's going to come along. What is he going to do? He's going to challenge it. Have you remember, you know, I know that Rick Renner, yeah. He's got a message about the armor, right? Well, part of the armor, the shield of faith, right, is to what Jesus talks about there, to ward off in Ephesians, the fiery darts of the enemy. So part of it is we need to have a defense against it. But you know that interesting here enough is any time, especially when we talk about the armor, there's nothing mentioned about our back because we're not expected to turn and run. We're expected to face the enemy head on with the shield of faith and what's the sword? The word, right? So really our attack is going to be those fiery darts from the enemy. Verse 13. They on the rock, and they said, which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and have no root, which is for a while believe, and in the time of temptation fall away. Now, I mentioned this last week. There are just some people that their personality and their upbringing lends them to this. Meaning this, they've never stuck with anything. They've always turned tail and quit. They've never followed through on anything. And the same thing with the Word of God when it comes along. When the times get tough, they fade away. It doesn't take any root in them. When things come up, they turn tail and run. They give up. You do know that giving up is a demonic character trait. It's demonic. So what did the devil do? Well, he came to Jesus in the wilderness, right? Tempting 40 days, and he wasn't successful. What did he do? Then he quit, and he left. It says, and for a season. So try to come back. He'll try to come back. He'll quit, and he'll come back. And he'll quit, and then come back. That's not a trait of God. You know, in the mind of God, nothing is failure. You know, anytime God says something to us, number one, God doesn't quit. Number two, God never fails. So in his mind, there is no, well, gee, I wonder if this is going to work or not. You know, God, there's no try within God's vocabulary. Well, I'm going to try it. Well, why don't you try it out? Why don't you take it for a test drive, right? No, there's no try with God. You either do it or you don't. It's either obedience. No, Deuteronomy says, choose to stay whom you'll serve, either death or life. It's going to be our decision, right? Verse 14, and when they fell among the thorns, they were heard, go forth and choked out with what cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Guys, we've got too much stuff in our lives, right? Too many distractions. Well, I don't have time for that, right? Not to be critical, but you know, you come in this morning, there's a lot of people, they're just too busy for stuff, right? They're just too busy this morning. Well, here's one thing, you know, for example, if you've ever planted trees or anything, we don't realize that typically, and I'm no biology person or horticultural person or anything like that, but I will say this, when we look at a tree, we're only seeing about half of it, right? Because there's almost an entire tree underground. You ever study or read about a bamboo, it takes forever for that thing to grow. Why? Because it's all it's doing is growing straight down. And then once it gets a root system up, it just shoots up like no time. Well, here in verse 14, right? They're not allowing the root system to take hold in their life. Every little thing that comes up, It doesn't mean that it just cares or riches or pleasures of this life and bring what? No fruit to perfection. I can't tell you how many times I've visited people in the hospital, have no pastor, have no church, have no nothing, and then they're on their deathbed, and what happens? They have no fruit to produce of anything in their life, right? They're just nothing. They've built no relationships. They have nothing of God. Oh, and praise God, they get saved, but the reward's going to be pretty much nothing on the other side. They have no fruit to show forth right now. And then verse 15, but on that, the good ground, talking about the seed, which is honest and good heart, having heard the word, kept it, and brings forth fruit with what? Patience. The Bible talks about what? Faith and what? Patience. They'll inherit the promises. I don't see anywhere in the Word where it says in Mark 11, 22 through 23, where it gives us a time frame, right? I don't see a time frame on things. God doesn't, you know, often tell us that. I mean, we're used to microwave, instant drive-through. We're used to things in this lifetime. Moses really didn't step in his ministry until he was about 80. On the back of a mountain with his father-in-law, Jethro, right? Now, it doesn't mean you have to be 80 before God's going to do anything, but the point is, it says with patience, God's doing things. If you're like me, I want it done 2 hours ago, right? I want it done yesterday. I want the blessings to have been here last week. I don't want to wait. I know that's a dirty word, wait. 34-letter word in Christianity, especially this charismatic area. We expect everything right now. And the things we receive right now, again, Mark 11, 22 to 26, we know that we receive it when we pray, and that's a prayer of faith, when we're believing for something. So verse 15, good ground, right? And it says producing fruit. That means that we're seeing something in our lives. Something is produced. We're seeing something. We're seeing results. But then there's a flip side too. We're talking about good ground. We've got to be good ground, right? We can be good ground or expecting something, but then on the other hand, we can be exposing ourselves to negative seed, bad seed. And Adam and Eve are a prime example of that. They what? They took on bad seed. I like Jesus was the master of recognizing poisonous seed, right? Because who was it? The religious folks were, they thought they had all the answers. And then Jesus shows up and kind of kicks in their little playhouse at that time, messes everybody's thought process of what things should look like, right? And the cool thing about Jesus was, we see there in Galatians and other and other places, he said, you know, Galatians writes about it, and of course in the Gospels, he says, hey, I didn't come here to get rid of the law. I came to fulfill it. What's he doing? I'm coming to bring this back into perspective again. I'm bringing things back to perspective, right? They have so brought the law and what God was trying to do as a legalism and trying to put people under bondage, and you're not doing this, and God's whole focus was love. And you see how God's heart, I mean, Jesus' heart was completely different than the Pharisees. Even though the word and what the law and everything was written was absolute perfect seed, because of their heart, what happened? They perverted it. Let's look at, this is going a little off kilter. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're kind of Matthew chapter 6 today, isn't it? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Actually, verse 32, we'll start there. 32 through 34. Now, verse 25, well, actually, verse 24, you don't have to turn it, I mean, it's right there, but it says, no man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve what? God and mammon, okay? Or the world system. Years ago, you know, I had a job where, and you know, it's, with some people, it's just that way, and they hold the Sabbath on a different day. So, you know, for example, we have Sunday mornings and Friday nights, you know. But I had a job that when I started, the understanding was I was never going to work Sundays. And then within about a month or two, I was working every other Sunday. This is right before we started the church. And I'm like, nah, this doesn't fit into my scenario, right? You know, and again, some people they do, but I'm just saying where that is more important than God, then there's some issues. Now, again, if you have to work, you know, a Sunday or whatever, that we're not, you know. But some people, their sole focus is on doing whatever at all the time, where they're never in the house of God. But verse 32. For after all those things do the Gentiles seek. We're talking about the world here. Okay, what are the world seeking? Well, they're seeking what? Money? Things, toys? Nothing wrong with things, is there? Nothing wrong with those things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need of all of these things. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for itself, things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, I know that's kind of King James-ish, but let me just present a thought for you. Do you ever notice that Jesus' treasurer was a thief? But there was never lack of money. You ever notice there's always money in that bag? Always money there. And you know Jesus knew that he was a thief, right? And I don't see Jesus trying to work up any money. I don't see him doing anything like that. What was Jesus' focus on? The kingdom. Doing the kingdom. What was the very first words that he said right when he came up out of the water there? And what was John the Baptist? John the Baptist ministry there at the book of John, and then also later, but the primary ministry of John the Baptist was what? He was a precursor to Jesus. He was to prepare the way for Jesus to come. When Jesus came on the scene, the very first word he said was, behold, the kingdom of heaven, what is at hand? Interesting that the very first words out of the master's mouth is, the kingdom is at hand. He is announcing the kingdom at the very, very, very onslaught. That is his first words out of his mouth when his ministry comes, right? Behold, the kingdom. He's talking about the kingdom. Jesus says, the kingdom. What is the kingdom? Love, joy, peace in the Holy Ghost, right? Righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. This is probably one of the biggest challenges for us, isn't it? Right? And I do believe in giving, and I do believe in sowing, and I do believe those things, right? But guess what encompasses the kingdom and chasing after the kingdom? Can I just present for your kind of consideration this morning, like Gary, Mr. Gary said, you know, we're doing the consideration this morning. And if you're not tithing, you need to be tithing, okay? If you're not giving, you need to be giving, all right? Because it's a commandment. But seeking first the kingdom, that is his interests, his desires, his direction, being completely sold out to him. Now, as opposed to only, and again, only, I'm going to give to get. Given shall be given. Pressed down, shaken together, shall men give it in your bosom. Great. That's good. Yes. I agree with that. But here's two different outlooks here. Again, when we're talking about clear to hear, and we're following God, one says, one philosophy, and I will say philosophy or thought process, says, I'm going to give because out of my need. And the Bible specifically says, don't give out of necessity, right? Where the kingdom says, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. I think it's interesting, in his righteousness, what is right? So we got two different philosophies here. We've got some people over here that are trying to give to get. I'm going to give so that God will bless me. Well, that kind of sounds like a little bit like manipulation, doesn't it? Because I'm going to give, because then therefore, no. If we have a kingdom mentality, everything's already taken care of. If I'm already on the kingdom business, you know, people have been in the military and everything, or if I, you know, for example, I've traveled for business before, or different, you know, I used to travel for Faith Library publications, or, you know, different schoolings and stuff like that I got to do for work and everything, you know. I never think, oh, man, where am I going to come up with this hotel money? Right? I never think about, oh, I don't want to get that. I can't afford that. No, the company's paying for it. Hello? Because why? Because I'm on company business. I'm not stressing out about paying hotel bills and, you know, eating out and doing this and doing that, right? What if we could take that mentality into our daily life with God? Have the understanding that I'm on kingdom business here. He's taking care of me. If I'm seeking his business, right? Now, what happens if I'm on a business trip, right? Let's just use that scenario. I'm on a business trip, right? And for example, when I was at Rhema, I'd travel, would fly to wherever, and I'd have to be at the book show. What if I say, you know what, instead of going to the book show today, I think I'm going to go shopping, right? And I need to buy some new clothes, and I need to do this, and I can do this, and I need to do this. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to be like, that is not the mission. This pathway, your assignment, as long as you stay on that path and you're pursuing this, your needs are going to be met. You're going to be taken care of. We're going to pay for your meals. We're going to pay for your airfare. But I can't come out and say, you know, I know I've got a book show in Anaheim, but I really want to fly to Los Angeles. And oh, I really want to fly to New York this week. And, you know, I want to take my wife and I want to eat. And I think we're going to go to maybe some Broadway shows and everything else too. What? That's not the assignment. That's not what I was told to do. Right? And what happens is then we get mad at God and say, well, God doesn't supply. God doesn't do these things. No, that's never been the assignment. But God, I gave. Well, great. That's good. You know, and we'll receive rewards for that. But again, seeking first the kingdom is what is his assignment. What if Jesus came down and said, you know what? We're just going to overthrow the Roman government now. Since I'm here, let's just clear everything up. Let's just get rid of these Romans. I'm going to send some angels down. We're going to do this and do this and do this. And that's not the assignment, right? And the crazy thing, you know, is everybody around Jesus thought that that was the assignment. And Jesus was talking about the kingdom. The kingdom is at hand. What was he talking about? The assignment set before me is to build the kingdom. Jesus never lacked, right? See, I think we miss it sometimes when we're talking about it. I'm taking a little offshoot here. We're missing it, I believe, in the realm of prosperity when we separate prosperity from the kingdom, right? We cannot separate prosperity from the assignment. It's the same in one. Problem is, we haven't fallen in love with the assignment. We're not committed to the assignment. I like how Jesus talks about the kingdom of God and provision and staying on the path. Adrian and I were just talking about this, about, somebody was asking people about faith and if they got discouraged, or this week we were just having a conversation about that. You said you were watching something, or... Right. Yeah.
Well, it was just why I can't remember how she worded it, but why people don't approach God or something.
Right. That's, yeah, exactly. Why we don't approach God, and maybe why we don't see things the way we're having, right? And people are what? They're discouraged. It takes too long. Right.
I'm going to be disappointed.
Well, you know what that tells me? You're trying to get God into your agenda. It's kind of a different way of thinking about things, right? Because we have been so inundated with, you know, you pull this lever, flip this switch, God is going to do something for you. He loves you because you're so cute and wonderful. And God doesn't reward disobedience, I'm just telling you right now. He doesn't do it. And the words that have disappeared from the church are repentance, obedience, right? Righteousness, holiness. I mean, these are just dirty words right now that people just get offended and they walk out the door. Well, you just cannot separate those things from walking a blessed life, right? And then we see so many people, again, that are crash and burn. They get upset. They get discouraged. They're upset with God. My question is this, too. What is God doing right now in your life? Where is God at and where are you at? Hello? Where is God at and where are you at? Are you on the same page? Are you begging God to bless you when he's saying, my provision is on the road? Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road, right? It's got the little munchkins out there pointing you in the right direction. Follow the yellow brick road, right? We want to get off over here, and then we want to get off over here, and then, you know. Like what... Bill Johnson says, you know, we want a kingdom without a king. You know? We want all the blessings without Jesus. We want all the goodies without obedience. We want all the goodies without following him. And guess what? It is a blessing following him. So seek ye first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Again, what is the kingdom of God? And what? And his righteousness and all of these things shall be added unto you. Again, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. Him. Most people are seeking the goodies, and he says, seek the kingdom. Right? Fall in love with him and his way. Can I just say this? The kingdom of God is very inconvenient. It costs time, commitment, right? Sacrifice. You know, in the kingdom of God, we don't live until we die to yourself. There are things that I thought that I wanted to do over the years, and this is where I was going to go and everything else too. And God Hello? Well, I mean, I'll laugh about it, but you know, I'm a obviously Raiders fan, and the last time the Raiders were in the Super Bowl was 2003. My pastor decided to have the only night of the whole year, a special meeting on that night, you know? And I'm like, what are you, you know, obviously you're not a, hello? Well, I had a little heart check that day, you know? Well, it's great, because what happened? I mean, the Holy Ghost fell. That's more important than anything else. But I had, again, you'll have tests like that. Are you going to seek the kingdom first? Is it first? Over what you want, over your career, over what's easy, over family members, right? Over friends. Because really seeking first the kingdom, it's an identity, isn't it? And I say this too, you know, many people, whether they're in, let's say, for example, Hollywood or musicians or whatever it is, to come into the things of God, that means that their identity is gone now. For example, people who do drugs, you know? I mean, you've got friends, you've got, I'm going to call them that. You get this whole social network, you've got all of these things. What God is saying when you do, when you're involved in the kingdom, it means you're going to separate. It doesn't mean we're alienating people and we don't love people. But what it means now is this: you're coming out from among others and among the world, and you're running down a path that is, Jesus says that, you know, wide is the pathway to destruction, but narrow is the gateway. Seek ye first the kingdom. There is so much in this verse 33, guys. I'm just telling you right now that, I mean, this could be a whole series in itself. Right? Because seeking first the kingdom means what? Your thinking's got to change. Your talking's got to change. Your behaviors have to change. And it doesn't mean that it has to change, but it's like you want to change. I was so fed up with myself that it was just, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, it was the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me, right? Because I wanted to follow Him. I kept having people calling me back in the world, hey, you want to do this? Hey, you want to do this? Hey, you want to do this? You know? Looked like good opportunities, the things that I had wanted to do. No, I was seeking the kingdom, right? And I know I had made the mistake before too in the process of kingdom, and I'm probably not the only person. But when you get into things, sometimes you look back like the Egyptians do. Oh, it was better back then. Oh, it was, no, it's never been better. Take therefore no thought, verse 34, no thought for the morrow or tomorrow, right? For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. What are we doing worrying about things, right? Guys, in this whole context, what is Jesus trying to get a hold of? Number one, cut ties from the world, get committed to the kingdom, run and chase after me, my kingdom, and my righteousness. I'm going to take care of everything and stop worrying about tomorrow. And I repent, guys, in front of all of you, if I've ever given the thought that, or any inkling that you just give and the focus on just receiving, because that's not at all it. Mm-mm. And there's too many people out there that they're teaching this, and some people are using it for manipulation to get more money, right? If you give $1,000, and if you do this, you'll get the 66 blessings or whatever. No, I'm already blessed, thanks. I don't need to give you $1,000 to be blessed, right? The 66 blessings, all right? I've fallen for those gimmicks before. Now, out of the kingdom, if it tells me to do something, that's one thing, right? If God does that. Again, comes back to the mentality, I'm going to give because I'm going to get. And I'm giving because I want a blessing. Where the kingdom mentality says, what do you want me to do? Right? Guys, I've done this. Some of you bought just a jalopy of a car before, and you're just like, I wish I never would have bought that car. You ever heard that before? This car, I should have just drove that thing off a cliff right when I got the keys, right? That's the kingdom mentality right there. Meaning this, when we come to the kingdom mentality, say, Lord, is this something I should do? Right? That our whole life is committed to Him, that we're gonna lay before Him and say, okay, what are your thoughts on this? I was just listening to a guy this week talking about his if his water heater went out. You know, we've got two options. I mean, most people are just gonna, hey, I got the money, I'll just write the check out. Instead of going to God and say, what do I do, Lord? Should I believe you? What should I do? Having money is a blessing. But are we going to rely on it? Is it going to be our crutch? Seeking first the kingdom. Verse 33 again. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Think about that this week. What does seeking the kingdom? Seek first the kingdom. And can I say this too? Your job is not your source. The kingdom is my source. Right? And His righteousness. It means His way of doing things. And all of these things shall be added unto you. And I see Jesus who was walking, seeking after the kingdom. That's His very first words that came out of His mouth was, the kingdom of God is at hand. And His whole life was about seeking the kingdom. And His treasure, I mean, His treasury had a hole in the bag. And there's still money there. There are still blessings there. Everything is provided for, right? He needed a donkey. It was there. The upper room or where they had the Last Supper, everything was provided for. When He is feeding the 5,000 and 3,000, the food's there. Do you realize miracles can happen? And really, what is a miracle? Like, for example, a sign and wonder and a miracle. You know, when Jesus had the feeding of the 5,000, think about how much time it would have took to make all that food, right? For feed 5,000. They were there on the Sea of Galilee, right? So that means they would have typically at night, so they would have had gone out, caught all the fish, brought it back, whipped up all these fires to cook all the fish. They'd had to bake all the bread. It's really time, right? There's just a lot of time involved with that. What's really a miracle? God cuts out the time for us and just does it for us right there. This little boy had the fish, which was already cooked, the bread, which was already baked. It was already done. What's Jesus do? Breaks it. What's He doing? He's eliminating all the time that it takes for us right now. Mark 7:13, we'll close with this. We talked about this also, but there's different ones here. Mark chapter 7, verse 13, it says, making the word of God of none effect in your traditions, through your traditions, which you have delivered, and many such like things do ye. In the Living Bible, and it says, and so you break the law of God in order to protect your man-made tradition. So guys, we've got a decision to make, don't we? The kingdom of God or what we think or way the thing's always been done. And this is the only one example, and there are many others. The Amplified Classic says this, "Thus you are nullifying and making void and no effect the authority of the Word of God through your tradition, which you, in turn, hand on, and many things of this kind you are doing." What's true? You know, we're always thinking of traditions of men of, oh, that religious church up there. They're always doing these things. Well, you know what? Traditions of men can be our little pet doctrines, right? You ever watch sometimes Christian TV? You watch TBN, you watch some of these other things, and you know what they're doing? They're parroting one another a lot. You know? Rather than going to the Word of God themselves. For example, you know, there's been people before where they, you know, they had some prophet bucket mouth say that, you know, these two people should be married, and then they get married and they get divorced, and then they say, well, they ruined my life. No, you ruined your own life, right? Because you have a Bible. And we need to hear God. We need to be following the kingdom for ourselves. What is it that the Lord is speaking to us to do? Are we in the best interest of the kingdom? And really, you know, we see there, Paul talks about us as being ambassadors, right? What is an ambassador? We have all the authority that a government has or an entity, and we are their representative. You know, we have different ambassadors to different countries. And that's their job. You know, and an ambassador to China is not going to wake up one day, you know what? Oh, I think I'm going to be the ambassador for France instead. Yeah. Maybe England. Yeah. Yeah. Because they talk like me. So it's going to be easier, right? Yeah. No, that's not the assignment. What's going to happen? The government's going to go, what are you doing? We need you in China. That's what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be doing this. As Christians, the kingdom of God. What's our assignment? What is he doing? Where is he leading us? How do we get the assignment? Through the Bible. And then being led. I just remember this. I know just this week I was listening to and reading some things about Smith Wigglesworth, where God had just, it said, ran him through a grater, basically, for his pursuit of the kingdom of God. The more we're committed and sold out to him, the more he is going to manifest himself to us and do miracles in our lives. This is not a real popular, I don't see any cheerleaders here today, but, you know, yay, yay, yay. But it's truth, right? The kingdom. The kingdom. The kingdom. The kingdom is falling in love with the king and doing what he wants to do. It's his. It's his kingdom. It's his way of doing things. I don't dictate to the king. Now, I want you to do this, and this is how I want you to bless me. Because in the end, it'll make Mark 7:13 manifest in our life. Again, making the Word of God of none effect through your traditions, which you've delivered. And I still like the Living Bible. It says, and so you break the law of God in order to protect your man-made traditions, which can be spirit-filled, right? We have several traditions, right? I've been in churches. You run this way, which, you know, we got to have order. We got to have all these things, right? Can't have anybody dancing up front because that'll, you know, we can't do that. We can't do this. We can't see, it's all traditions, right? The day of Pentecost, they had flames on top of their heads. That's weird. Okay, that's kind of weird, right? But God does things that don't make any sense to us. Talks through donkeys. Hello? Talking donkey. You know, all the critics of people, you know, like, the Bible says that donkeys were talking, and that's just so weird. I don't know. It's God. He does what he wants to, right? The kingdom of God is not up to logic. He does what he wants. And so our man-made traditions can be either spirit-filled or they can be non-spirit-filled. We have our own traditions. Amplified, thus you are nullifying and making void and of no effect the authority of the word of God through your traditions, which you in turn hand on, and many things of this kind you are doing. Father, we thank you this morning that we are seeking first the kingdom. Seeking first the kingdom, your ways, sacrificing for you, Lord, what you want. We're giving when you tell us to give, Lord. We're blessing people when you tell us to bless. We tithe and we give, Lord. We don't need to be led to do that, but every step that we do, we're following you and your righteousness, Lord God. We're forsaking ourselves and we're picking up your mantle. We're running with it today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I don't think we need to show a show of hands because I know myself, every person has dealt with this. But this morning, I pray that all of us committing to running the race, following the kingdom this morning. We're going to be good ground. We're going to receive good seed, which is the word of God. Not only the written, but also the spoken word into our life. You know, too many times we listen to messages like this or we listen to things, and it really comes down to, you know, a lot of people are hearers of the word, but, you know, a lot of people, well, I listen to this, and 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 I listen to this. Great. Are you doing any of it? That's the key, you know? A lot of people listen to a lot of Brother Hagin stuff, and they could all tell Brother Hagin stories and do this and do this and do this, but it doesn't mean that they're going to get the results of Brother Hagin. This has got to take a hunger and a passion and a drive and an absolute attitude that you're going to pursue the kingdom, and that's all you're going to pursue. You're going to be completely focused on him and his kingdom and his word. And fellowshipping with others and talking about the word and doing the word, right? Being obedient to him. The problem is often our definition of what we think, you know, living a life for God and what God defines as living are two different things. You know, ours is just, hey, I'm just gonna pray on Sunday morning, or I'm just gonna pray this time. And I'm going to maybe pick up the word. Well, you know what God talks about in Joshua 1:8? Meditate what? Day and night. God expects us. This is an absolute life. We're completely absorbed in it. And this is why we're not seeing the same results, is because God's expectation is we're consumed with it all the time. We're talking about it. We're thinking about it all the time. We're talking with him all the time. We're completely absorbed. The word for baptism means totally immersed. We are water baptized. You see us, you go completely under. You're completely absorbed in it. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, it says the Spirit came upon them. It means what? The Holy Spirit completely anoints all of us. He's over all of us, not just your finger or your nose or your toes, right? When we get to heaven, it's not like a weekend thing where it's like, okay, we're going to go to heaven Saturday and Sunday, and then the rest of the week we're over here. No, we're completely absorbed. When we get to heaven, there is nothing outside of that. We're going to be completely absorbed into the kingdom. The Spirit of God will be upon us. We will be in the glory 24/7 forever. We as humans, we compartmentalize everything. Well, this is my church time, and this is this time. The world does, and much of the church. This is this time, this is this time, and this time, this time. And God's like, no, it's all the time. Every breath that you take should be, I should be the focus of. All the time. I should be the focus of everything. Meditate my word day and night so you'll be able to observe all it do, right? That whatever you put your hand to, what will prosper? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Lord Jesus, I pray that we're going to get a revelation of the kingdom, totally focused on you. We're going to get out of our religious thinking, even myself. We're get out of the religious thinking. We need an awakening in our lives, in our church, but it begins with us. We can't expect somebody else to do it for us, but we ourselves are going to take on that prayer mantle. We ourselves are going to carry the kingdom. We ourselves are going to be containers. We ourselves are going to be ambassadors for you, Lord. And while we're on the path, everything will be provided for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I didn't put you to sleep, did I? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. God, I thank you so much for your kingdom, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Friday night, where are we going to be at? We are, Dean and Jessica's. All right. We just seems like we've been recycling the same people because we got canceled a few weeks there. But praise the Lord, it's going to be good. Hallelujah. Have a great week.